welcome to the Cigar Cast, your weekly one-stop shop for all things cigar-related, including industry news, reviews, and everything in between. We're recording live from Crown Cigars and Ales here in beautiful Brentwood, Tennessee. I'm one of your hosts, Trey Debman, and I am joined, as I am every week, by Mr. Shane Reeves.
You know, I'm going to start a campaign to stop lighter abuse in this country.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the rubbernecking that's going on outside the parking lot.
No, that just happens. And the two people crash their car together, and nobody's ever seen that happen before.
Apparently so. I was amazed when I turned the corner onto the main strip here and just blues and twos as far as the eye can see.
Well, so
that's not something we see out here very often.
Why in the pantheon of a bazillion things that have been invented for cigar smokers has nobody invented a screen that can fit over the top of a lighter that can keep people from shoving their cigar down into the jets of it?
Well, we could talk about that for hours.
I'm just thinking that may be the next million-dollar thing for me.
It's like a lighter etiquette kind of thing?
Well, no, just literally a screen. Literally, I mean, okay, so by and large, you can't idiot-proof anything because we're always building a better idiot.
Right.
But you've got, I think, a screen, kind of a bubble of some sort that could clip over the top of a lighter so that, say, you're handing it to somebody who's not that bright. They, you know, kind of like you put the cork on the end of the fork for somebody.
It's a training lighter.
Yeah. I think that would be perfectly usable in this society.
Well, it's funny because you would think, well, I mean, I think the problem is how you get the heat out and not allow ash back in, because ash turns basically to dust, and that's where your problem comes from.
Well, and it's, you know, if the thing is,
they end up just rubbing the end of the cigar on the screen,
and that may be it. They may try to get the screen hot and then rub the cigar enough to, you're right,
be like the old cigarette lighter in the cars where you just get it nice and hot and press it up against
stuff it in there. Oh yeah, that's a deep cut, because there's I
used one of those a few months ago, actually.
When did they quit putting cigarette lighters in cars?
15 years ago, maybe?
I got to think it was somewhere in there. Now everybody just uses it to charge, you know, but pull that out. What's this thing?
Yeah, throw it away and put your phone charger in there.
So let's talk about the cigars we're going to smoke tonight.
Let's do it.
Before I take to handle this too much and put it in my mouth and waller it around, I want you to analyze this cigar.
All right, let me see it.
This is the Corona Exclusive Florida Sun Grown Experimental.
All right, this doesn't look like the regular Florida Sun Grown.
No, it's not. It's actually made in the regular Florida Sun Grown is made in the Drew Estate factory in Nicaragua. This one is made in the J.C. Newman factory in Tampa.
Okay.
They don't even have boxes for these cigars down there at Corona. They're just in bundles because they're so experimental.
Huh.
But look at the hue of that wrapper. Is that not a unique, you know, it's a Connecticut Broadleaf Lancaster binder, Connecticut Broadleaf filler, and the wrapper is the pure Florida sun-grown tobacco.
It's got interesting little stippling to it, you know, little dots all over it, but it's not toothy. It's smooth, but you can see the different little,
you can look at that cigar,
freckles, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, you can look at that cigar and say, okay, that's grown somewhere else. You know, I think I could take the wrapper off of that and pass it as Indonesian or something like that, something that the average cigar smoker has never seen before.
And it looks like the cap's already been cut. Is that just how it
so comes? They are all, because they're such an experimental cigar, they are all pre-tapped.
Interesting.
They take and they already poke them and pre-draw test them before, and I haven't stuck my mouth on it yet because I was going to hand it to you to handle, but I'll be interested to see how that works. But I'm really excited to smoke this. I bought it down at Corona Cigars. MSRP, a little high for that size of cigar. I bought the Torpedo. It's $14.
But for an experimental cigar, that's not bad.
That's not bad. If you notice me having any side effects during the terms of the Cigar Cast, you know, jerking around or something like that.
Well, based on what I'm smoking tonight, it might be both of us doing that.
This may be the Tourette's Cast by the end of the cigar. So tell us what you're smoking.
All right. So on your recommendation, and having wanted to get my hands on it, I'm committing a faux pas. I forgot to take it out of the cellophane beforehand. On your recommendation from a couple of weeks ago, I finally got my hands on the Punch Diablo. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago or a week ago that I wanted to smoke this, but all they had was a 6x60, and that's just a little much for me. So this is the Scamp size, which is a 50 ring gauge by like 6.5 or something like that. 6 1/8. So it's a little bit, it's kind of a Toro. It's a skinny Toro, maybe a Corona Extra, I guess I would call that if I had to, you know, put a traditional name on it. Like I said, they call it the Scamp. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's AJ Fernandez and Punch collaboration, Connecticut Broadleaf Filler, and Ecuadorian Sumatra Oscuro.
Right. Wrapper.
Wrapper.
And, you know, I've had the, I spoke about it briefly last week because I had such an interesting experience with that cigar. I believe the size you have right there is going to have a whole lot more more taste to it, more punch, more punch to it than the 6x60 does. Now, I've smoked three or four of the 6x60 since I smoked that one.
Oh, have you?
And all, and they've all been milder than that first one, or that first one I grabbed was just the anomaly.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see you light that
it's
up.
It's got
and get
that
it.
Very AJ Fernandez, you know, patented flavor on the cold draw. Like, it's just when you put a AJ Fernandez cigar in your mouth, you know that's what you've got. It is. It's textbook. And there's something about, I don't know if it's just the blends that he lends toward or what, but I'm really excited. I'm hoping it doesn't make me all cross-eyed like it did you, but we'll see.
Well, I'm interested to see you try that because, I, like I said, I want to see one time you'll probably have to smoke the 6x60 just to see the difference in the taste because it actually has inspired me to revisit some cigars that I didn't like in different sizes and kind of see if maybe I can get something out of them that I wasn't before. But the fact of the matter is there's so many good cigars out there, you don't have to work that hard.
Right.
So, first thing I want to talk about tonight, Southern Draw, one of my favorite companies. I love so much about Southern Draw, and Southern Draw is producing a new cigar called the Cedrus Hogan.
I saw this today.
Well, so the part that's interesting to me is, yes, Southern Draw is making a new cigar, but naming things is one of the hardest things to do.
You know, it's funny. I figured that the name of this cigar was going to be what piqued your interest.
Yeah, it's Cedrus. It's after the Cedars of Lebanon, the legendary Cedars of Lebanon. And, you know, in my career, I've been part of a lot of plan libraries for different builders, and we always try to find a naming convention. The most popular one is to have names of trees, okay?
Yeah.
This plan's the hickory, this plan's the ash, this plan's the maple.
Anyone who has been apartment shopping lately will recognize that.
Yeah, and that's a standard easy one. But I like that Southern Draw takes it to the next level because all of their cigars have names that are botanically based, but are also biblically based.
Jacob's Ladder coming to mind.
Jacob's Ladder, Rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
You know, Fire Thorn, so many of their things. And so think how hard it is to name something, and then think how hard it is to name it twice.
Right.
And all that's so I'm really excited to try this cigar, and all I figure they'll get them in. It's a 5.5x52 box press Bellicosa. It comes in individually numbered 10-count boxes, and only 5,000 boxes were made.
Oh, so it's a very limited run.
Yeah, Nicaraguan, AJ Fernandez factories where it's made. Now, here's interesting. The wrapper is Indonesian, Sumatra Basuki, and the binder is Nicaraguan, and the filler is Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan. And for such a limited release, $11.99, box of 10, $118.99, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
That might be worth actually seeking it out.
Yeah.
And I'll have some of my contacts that deal in Southern Draw call me when it hits.
Right.
And also,
I'd imagine Casa's probably going to have a couple of them.
See, so here's the tricky part about Casa. It's such a national corporation. It's harder to get the, you know,
limited run stuff.
Yeah. Hey, this just come in. Quick, call Shane.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff coming in. I may have better luck down in Alabama with some of them.
Yeah.
That just started carrying Southern Draw.
That's a good point.
But I don't know if you're listening at Casa and you get these in, please give me a holler. And all. But it's made in the Fernandez factory. Going to be pretty good. So what's your first blush on the Punch Diablo?
I'm not getting the same kick in the teeth that you did, but man, it's good. You're right. The first inch, I'm not an inch in yet, but you know, the first half inch or whatever is very, very peppery, very spicy. You can feel, you know, we've talked on the show before about the difference between full-bodied and full-flavored.
Right.
You can actually taste the strength in this one. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, a lot of times you get a full-flavored cigar, but you may not necessarily feel it kind of hit you as being a strong cigar. This one, the flavors are very well balanced, but you can actually feel that it is a strong cigar.
The FSG Experimental is really something else. It's the perfect combination of the old and the new.
Okay.
It has that classic, if you smelled of it while you had it, you see it has that classic J.C. Newman cigar smell.
Yeah.
But the wrapper adds so much to it. It's kind of an old and new feeling. There's a lot of pepper, a lot of body to it, a lot of complexity. I'm tasting more complexity.
Which I wouldn't necessarily expect based on the look of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a dark cigar. But I've also smoked a lot of Florida sun-grown tobacco. We went to the barn smoker there and smoked one of the first ones made.
Yeah.
But this is very good. I mean, this may be worth, you know, biting the bullet and ordering a box, because it's pretty darn good smoke. So, later in the show, I want to talk about the influx of fancy wrappers that we have. I also want to talk about the lighting and smoking your cigar in windy conditions. But before we get to any of that, I have the official rules for the World Cigar Smoking Championship. I went through the effort to look this up and find it.
When you said you had something special for me, I thought, you know, maybe he didn't forget my birthday. Maybe he does have a cigar for me. No, you want to rehash this crap.
Okay. There's been a marked amount of interest in this World Cigar Smoking Championship.
I know, and I get it. You know, well, I don't get it, but I understand.
And we have talked about it in the most vague of terms and all. And I'm not going to go through the whole 3 pages of rules and etiquette on it. I've summarized it.
If I remember correctly, it's 2 matches, right?
Yes. So each competitor will be given a box with 2 long matches. They are long matches and a cutter. Now, here's the trick. Here's the part of it I thought was interesting that we've never touched on before. They actually put a ring on the cigar, a metal ring on the cigar, and that's where you smoke to. So it's not about who can hold on to the end of the cigar the longest. It's about who can take the longest time to get from the front of the cigar to that ring.
Oh, okay.
Now, everybody is allowed to pick their own cigar out of the box that are all pre-ringed. The penalty... I love the penalty minutes. They add penalty minutes to this for you.
Or subtract, I guess.
Yeah, or subtract. So, first falling or shaking off of ashes in the first 10 minutes of competition. So, if you drop your ash in the first 10 minutes of competition, it costs you 20 minutes.
Holy cow!
First falling or shaking of the ash in the first 20 minutes is going to cost you 15 minutes. 25 minutes will cost you 10, 30 will cost you 5, 35 will cost you 3, and 40 will cost you a minute.
So it's also a long ash competition.
Right. Don't drop your ash in the first 45, 50 minutes, or 41 minutes. You cannot ash your cigar for 41 minutes.
We've only been recording for 13 and a half, and I've already ashed my cigar.
So...
I would not do well.
Rule number one, I'll just hit this real quick. All participants receive the same cigar that they picked themselves from the box. So you're allowed to pick your own cigar, but it's always the same cigar.
I wonder how they do the seating, as who gets to pick first. And
that is interesting. I don't know. It does not cover that. In the case of a defective cigar, a competitor can exchange a cigar for another one.
Yeah, you'd hate to get, you know, 2 hours into your cigar and then it blows up on you.
Right, all of a sudden the wrapper explodes. Yeah. And the competition ring is glued on the same length of each cigar. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And, of course, the competition table may only contain items provided by the organizer. So basically the lighter in 2 matches is it. And I'm trying to look. Burning time is a maximum of 1 minute, and that is included in the time of the competition. Who can burn a match for 1 minute?
If they're real, I mean, maybe they're, when they say long matches, maybe they're talking like fireplace matches.
It must be, you know, additional preparation of the cigar is not allowed. So this is the interesting part. This is the part where this starts crossing into the insane for me.
Well, I know you also can't blow on the end of your cigar once you get it.
No, during the competition, it is not allowed to blow in the cigar from the outside, blow through the cigar, or make it wet.
How do you not make it wet?
Well, I kind of wondered that, too.
Maybe they're talking like you do with the how you slow down when you've got a correction.
Yeah, how if I'm burning crooked, I guess that's probably what they're referring to. But I don't know that I could do it because I'm such a habit of blowing back through my cigar. I do that so often.
Oh, do you really? I never do that.
Oh, I do that every third or fourth puff just to keep it from building up that sulfur taste at the end.
Huh.
And I've always done that. And but now this is for the first 5 minute competition, it is not allowed to talk or consume drinks. So you got to sit there for 5 minutes focused on this cigar.
Oh my God, that sounds miserable.
It's not allowed to put down the cigar. It has to be kept in your hand during this whole competition, and you're not allowed to cover it up.
I knew that.
Now.
And once the cigar is lit, even if you only use one match to light it, you can't use the second one. You can't hold it in reserve.
Right. Once it's lit, it's lit.
Yeah.
And you have a minute to do that. If you can't get it lit in a minute, you're out.
Who takes a minute to light their cigar?
Well, longer than 10 seconds, less than a minute. That's about my usual range. But this is the other thing. If the competition ring is burned, so if you smoke it down to the point that you burn the ring on the cigar, 15-minute penalty.
So you have to call it. You have to stop it before that happens.
Right. And after 40 minutes, you may shake off the ash with no penalty. The cigar smoking ends the minute the participant lifts his or her number, and his or her time is written down.
So you have to bow out before you hit the competition ring. So that's you have to. Right. So it's like you're at an auction. You just hold your number out.
Right. So you really got to time this out. Okay, I'm getting close to the ring. Is there another puff left in that? But on the bright side, you're sitting there doing nothing for 3 hours.
Exactly.
So you got time.
You've got plenty of time to.
Competition is guided by 5 judges. Do we need 5 judges?
I guess to look and see if anyone's breaking the rules.
I guess so. I guess to keep an eye. I don't know how big these events are, how many people are there. Judge may disqualify people if they do not respect the rules or disturbs the other participants.
So
that's the biggie.
Blowing on someone else's cigar.
And
reaching over, tapping, make their ash fall.
So the winner of the competition is the person that smokes the cigar for the longest time without turning it off, meaning the winner whose time of smoking is the longest after all reductions from the penalty minutes are taken into consideration.
So it seems like they've really just invented a whole bunch of rules just because they had to make it complicated.
And you know, I'm pretty open-minded about most things. I'm pretty freewheeling about most things. This whole thing just sounds like a great way to ruin a good cigar.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, that's my whole thing with all this, is like, it seems like it takes all the enjoyment out of a cigar. Like, at least with, let's look at other competitions, you know, whether it's, you know, a sporting event or Parcheesi, whatever it is.
Right.
Like, even if you're, like, in fiercely competitive, there's still a fun element to it.
Yeah.
I don't see where the fun element, other than standing around in a tuxedo talking with your mates after the first 5 minutes and drinking some scotch or whiskey or whatever they've got. Like,
well, now, this is interesting because they just started allowing water in the competition.
Interesting.
Beforehand, it was only allowed to be dark spirits during the competition.
So I would have never been allowed to compete if they hadn't changed that rule.
Yeah, they would. I mean, you would have had to go dry for 3 hours.
No one wants to go dry for 3 hours.
That could lead to all kinds of issues, which we won't get into because we're gentlemen.
End up chafing your cigar.
Yeah, we don't. That was the issue we weren't going to end up getting into because we were gentlemen.
I whispered it.
Oh, yes. So. Well, good thing nobody's listening. But so I thought that was interesting. I had to look up the rules. I promise you this will be probably the fourth to last time that I mentioned the Cigar Smoking World Championship.
Fourth to last time. Although it does, you know, you talk about no talking for the first 5 minutes. As a global competition, I wonder if there's any common language among the competitors. I imagine like there's a bit of a language barrier would have to be for some of the competitors that are coming from Belarus or wherever that, you know, I'm sure you've got a few English speakers, a few Germans, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and I did watch a YouTube news story about this, about the guy from Nashville that actually went and won it. He had never practiced. He literally just showed up. There was this competition, and he sat down and did it.
Well, do you really need training to smoke a cigar? I mean, honestly.
Well, I'm gonna practice for anything, whatever it is. I'm gonna sit and kind of practice for anything.
Well, there's a guy that I'm friends with on Facebook who participates. He was actually there in Croatia this year. He doesn't listen to the podcast, obviously, and. You know, he actually will. He'll practice. He'll sit there with a stopwatch and time his puffs. And
can I borrow your phone? I'd like to get him on the show for next week. Just to continue my torture of Trey utilizing this topic.
What's really bad is that I would then have to, you know, be made a hypocrite to both of our listeners about about talking all this crap and then having to be polite about it when he was here.
Yeah, I mean, because you have been less than charitable toward the...
Oh, no, I know what we need to do for next year. I just got it. We do a... was it Tootsie? We put you in a dress. And we send you in as the... as a ringer for the women's division.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the Cigar Cast... Please register as to who would do better, who would be more likely to represent the feminine gland, myself
wow.
or Trey, would put into a dress.
Hey, beard.
Yeah, well, we'd shave
for no man.
We'd shave that off. I mean, we wouldn't just leave that out there. I mean, we're not going to make it a slow pitch, Trey. Although, it would be awesome for you to show up with a cigar in your mouth, full beard, wearing a polka dot dress. I'm here for the competition.
I didn't know you knew my Aunt Edna.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Teresa. Teresa, yeah, that's it. That's who this is.
Oh, man. So, I just had a whole bunch of middle school flashbacks.
And I know you grew up in a poor family. You lived off hand-me-downs. I only had sisters. We've heard the story before. So tell me about your week in cigars, because this is going totally off the rails. Where did
you had to know it was going to? My week in cigars has been pretty good. I did so. Monday was my birthday, and so I actually made. Last year I didn't get my Liga number 9 until almost Christmas. Actually, I think it was the week between Christmas and New Year's. This year, I made a special because Austin didn't have them in the shop yet at this point last year.
Right, he wasn't a diplomat dealer yet.
Right, and so had a great evening, had some dinner with family, and then drove down here and was able to get my Liga 9. And that was obviously the highlight of my week so far.
Did you smoke it here or did you take it home?
Yes, I started it here and then smoked it on the way home. And because I've gotten pretty good about knowing when to leave the cigar shop so that I have enough cigar left to make the trip home. Because I live about 25 miles from here. So it's a good 30-minute drive to get home. And so I've gotten pretty good at timing that out. So I left with enough cigar. I still had probably about 10 minutes by the time I got home, and I sat out on the back porch and enjoyed it.
I gotta say, I'm so impressed by this cigar. I'm really impressed. The feel of it, the flavor of it, everything is right there. And I'm not a big J.C. Newman product fan.
Neither one of us really are. I mean, and for me to be a fan of a J.C. Newman cigar, it tends to be the higher echelon, the D.C. Maximus, the Julius Caesar. Those are, I think, the two best cigars that they make in their line. And so, but at $20 a cigar, it's not something I have very often.
Well, the Newman always tastes like a throwback smoke to me.
Well, they're very traditional. I mean, if you think about J.C. Newman as Fuente.
Right.
I mean, so if you think about that connection, it makes sense that they would be a very historical type smoke.
Well, and I'm interested, you know, so the Florida sun-grown tobacco is grown in just outside of Orlando, Florida, at a farm that Jeff Borowitz, the owner of Corona Cigars, actually owns and operates. And he operates this farm specifically to grow tobacco to sell cigars. And now you can get Florida sun-grown at Drew Diplomat dealers. But at the time we went, he was only producing about 5,000 pounds of tobacco a year.
Yeah, so that's not much for any type of distribution.
No, that's not a lot. So he must have expanded that farm. I'm going to have to go back this year just to see.
Yeah.
And all, he must have expanded that.
Do you have plans to go back this year?
I know you're
going to the one in Kentucky.
Going to the one in Kentucky. It's actually only 2 weeks away.
Yeah, it's getting close.
It'll be here before we know. And there's still a few tickets available. If you live anywhere within a five-hour drive, come down and
it's worth it, especially if you've never done it before.
Oh, yeah, and this will be my fourth year going.
It's a long day, don't get me wrong. I mean, you sit around in the morning for a while, and then you break into groups and you do the tours, and then you eat, and then you sit around for a little more, and then they have some people come up and speak, and then you sit around for a little more, and then you do the auction. You know, it's a long day. You're there for 4, 5, 6 hours?
Yeah, you're there a long time, but there's plenty of good whiskey. There's plenty of good barbecue. There's cookies. There's all kinds of...
And there's good cigars.
Yeah, and the pack they give you when you walk in there is cigars. I mean, that pretty much is my KFC supply for the year.
Right. And it's a good way to smoke cigars. Like, I smoked the Pappy Van Winkle that we got in that last year that I wouldn't have smoked otherwise. And it was all right. But it was just, it was nice to be able to, I love getting free cigars, although it's not free because you pay. I mean, basically, if you think about it, the price of the ticket covers those cigars that you get, much less the experience.
Well, and one of the cigars that comes in that pack is a Liga A.
Right.
You know, you're paying $95 for the ticket. By the time you get the ticket, and then because of the FDA, you have to give them $10 when you get there to get your cigar pack. You didn't think about getting a Liga a feral fly, or not a feral flying pig, a KFC flying pig, and the other cigars in there. I would buy that pack all day long for $80 a pack.
Yeah, last year there were a couple of Swamp Things in there, a couple of KFCs.
Well, and this year there's going to be some tins and all that involved. I'm actually going to pull up the list real quick because, like I said, it's rare that there's actually tickets left at this stage in the game.
But I will say this, as someone who can easily smoke 3 or 4 cigars a day, I'm not saying I do, but there was a time when I did, you know, that's one of the few times that I've ever been smoked out. Like, we got home from that, and I was like, I don't want another cigar.
So, check out this list. Liga Privada A, Liga Privada Velvet Rat, Kentucky Fire Cured Just a Friend, Pappy Van Winkle Limitada, Lauritan, Swamp Thing Toro, an undisclosed KFC size, 2 of those, KFC Pig, Florida Sun Grown Toro, a KFC Ponies 10, and a undisclosed KFC Ponies 10.
That's very similar to the pack last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pappy, KFCs, the Swamp Thing, the Velvet Rat.
Well, and it all supports Cigars for Warriors. It's
right.
All a charity thing, and they usually, because we bring cigars, and for every cigar you bring, you get a raffle ticket. And I always bring all the cigars from the poker game, and we have a whole bunch of raffle tickets. And they'll be drawing for a Kentucky Fire Cured Mega Standing Ashtray, a Swamp Thing Standing Ashtray, a Swamp Rat Painted Travel Humidor, and Drew Estate Pewter Ashtrays. And then there's 20 other
kinds of other little stuff they give away. The little barrel tops, they give a few of those away.
And Jonathan Drew always speaks at it. JD gets a little more emotional than what I standardly go. But still a great event. Always a lot of fun. Well, Trey just looked at the clock and dropped his cigar.
Very nearly.
So
I'll let this go a little longer than we usually do.
Oh, carry on then.
So we're going to, you usually take us out. We're going to step away for a minute, enjoy the cigar under 8, and then we'll be back with more after this.
Welcome back to the Cigar Cast. It's Shane sitting across from Trey.
Welcome back, everybody.
I used to do the full introduction, but they don't really need to know our last names.
No, I mean, they heard at the top of the show. You think just Christian names only and move on?
Astrological sign. I mean, I don't think any of that becomes important.
I'd say not.
So this week I did get, well, first let's get an update on the cigar. Is the punch, how's it treating you?
Really good. Again, I'm not getting the strength off of it that you did. I did also just smoke a Charter Oak on the way here, so that may have had something. I was prepped. I wasn't coming in cold like you were. My palate was warmed up, if you will. I'm really enjoying it. It feels like a hug. I really don't know how else to describe that. It just, it's so strong that it's calming, if that makes sense. It's like, you know when you take that first drink of whiskey and you feel it warm your body all over? That's what this cigar is doing for me. I just feel very relaxed, very at ease.
Or, you know, when it's a chilly morning and you get that first cup of coffee and drop just kind of touches your soul.
Yeah, that's really what this is doing. I mean, it's just, it feels so good.
Which is totally contradictory to the name, the Punch Diablo.
Yeah. I think it's one of those, like, too much of a good thing. You know how it's just, it's so much that it has the opposite effect. It's like Ritalin, I guess. But, yeah, the other thing that really impresses me about this, apart from the fact that the flavor is wonderful, is, and I'm still getting spice. I'm about a third of the way through, and I'm still getting quite a bit of spice on it, or quite a bit of pepper. But I love the volume of smoke it's putting out. I mean, one of the things that I look for in a cigar that really enhances my enjoyment of that cigar is just a velvety, smooth cloud of smoke on the exhale. And I'm really getting that with this.
Well, and there's nothing better than a rich Nicaraguan tobacco and that kind of blue smoke that just wafts out of the cigar.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. But now I'll tell you, this All-American Experimental Florida Sun Grown from Corona, there's definitely more of these in my future. This could be a really good cigar for me.
If you can get a hold of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to order it from Corona. And all, but Corona, I will tell you, Corona's shipping department is excellent.
Yeah?
My wife ordered a box of Acid Beach from them, and Acid Beach is only available at Corona Cigar.
Okay.
And she likes that cigar. She gets it every time, and she ordered a box of them, and 2 or 3 days later, they're here.
Oh, wow. So I'm guessing you guys stopped by on the way back.
Well, she just called them when we got home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she just called them when we got home, and they shipped it right up. They're right on top of things in there. Their shipping department.
That's something you really, I mean, that's, if, as a small company, there's very little higher praise you can give one than being really on point when it comes to logistics and stuff like that. Typically, your smaller companies, they get a little lost in the shuffle.
So I'm a fan of professionalism wherever I go. And this is one of the things, I love to do business with true professionals.
Likewise.
I have to share this experience because this week I had the ultimate professional experience. So my jug of Mamawana arrived, the mulch, basically mulch in a jug. And it arrived and you have to add liquor to it and all because just the mix is what showed up and I ordered just that. And I went into my local liquor store. And the Indian guy behind the counter, super nice guy, done business with him for years. Of course, me doing business with a liquor store is about 3 times a year.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big times customer. But I walked in, he said, "So what are you going to drink today?" I said, "Well, I'm making Mamawana, and I need some wine for that." And all. So I went back there to the wine section. He went and Googled the recipe for Mamawana, looked up what all went in it, and I come up, I had a $14 bottle of wine. He said, no, don't get that. I thought, well, here comes the upsell.
Right.
He pointed me toward a $6 bottle of Sutter Home.
Oh.
And he said, that wine's too sweet. He said, the recipe I looked up adds honey. He said, you don't want to use a sweet wine and honey together. You want a dry wine, and then you can use the honey to add the amount of sweetness you want. And I'm a customer. He'll get the rest of my business for the immediate future, and all because he went above and beyond.
There's no substitute for that, for going above and beyond for a customer. I mean, there really isn't. That's one of those things that I always try to exemplify, but I certainly notice whenever I'm on the receiving end of it.
Well, and he went the extra mile. Without me looking for it, he really wanted to give me an informed decision, and he put me on the right. You know, I I got the Sutter Home wine, and I got the Captain Morgan Spice Drum, and I got local honey, really good local honey. Mm-hmm. And I've got that all mixed, and it'll, and you've seen the picture on the Cigar Cast Facebook page.
Yeah, it'll, how long does it sit for?
So you put the first wine in it for 3 days, then you drain that off.
Oh.
And then you put the wine and the rum and the honey in it and let it set for at least 3 more days. So Sunday, it will be ready for consumption for our annual wrestling event that's going to be held at the house. So me and the guys are going to be drinking Mama Juana.
Very cool.
For the wrestling event.
But yeah, back to your, like, your whole professionalism thing. We were, that's one of those things that waiters, servers, have the opportunity to do that so many times a day. And it always really impresses me. I go out to eat with my sister and her family quite a bit. And my little nephew is allergic to absolutely everything. Dairy, wheat, and eggs specifically. Now, when you're eating out, that's a real, those are really hard out and severely allergic. Not just doesn't agree with him, but like full-blown anaphylaxis.
Right, EpiPen time.
Yeah. So one of the things that always impresses me is when we explain to the server, all right, these are his allergies. Can we do that, you know, help? And then usually the waiter or a good waiter will usually, rather than say, I'm not going to guess, I'm not 1 second, and goes and gets the chef. And that's one of those things that, you know, you just, you really appreciate that they understand.
Right, and they lock themselves in a better tip.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the, you know, in the cigar shop, you have those two different kinds of people behind the bar. You have the people that really know cigars, and you have the people that have their preferences and kind of, I always prefer, if you're going to work behind the bar at a cigar shop, your main goal is to listen to the customer.
Absolutely.
Listen to what they're telling you they like and dislike.
I can't tell you the number of times I've sold a cigar to people that it was a cigar that I actually don't like, but was able to recommend it based on what they were able to tell me, and they end up enjoying it. And I was always really, and even still when I'm making a recommendation for someone, if I don't know their palate that well, really happy to say, you know what, that doesn't fit my palate, but you probably will, or something to that effect.
Right, that, you know, if that's what you like, that's what you like. And also, this week, we've spoken about this before, but this week I'm pulling up the article, and I'll, boy, preparation, the name is shame. Marrero Cigars has announced in a new factory in an Artistico Salamon. Now, these are highly decorated wrappers. I mean, they're yellow, green. This is even more so than the LFD product.
Oh, that's, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one's got a tarantula, one's got a horse, one's got a panther. You know, they got all kinds of things on them. What's your opinion on the super fancy wrapper?
I think it's pointless, personally. I feel like such a curmudgeon on this show so often when I poo-poo anything that isn't just, you know, run-of-the-mill regular stuff. But I don't see what the... All I see is dollar signs.
See, it's kind of like the coffin box for me.
Yeah.
I see that I'm paying for a part of the cigar that is not what I'm here to enjoy. Now, if I was buying a cigar to hang on my wall...
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, this would be something, or the LFD football or something like that would be something I'd be interested in. But for a cigar that I'm looking... You know, it's been a long day at work. I'm ready to come sit back, have a cigar, and watch a little football.
Yeah, I don't want to smoke a piece of art.
Yeah, I don't want to be sad that I actually cut and lit this particular cigar.
Right, and that's how I feel with those. I feel like they're beautiful to look at. They take an incredible amount of artisanship and skill to make. I'm not discounting that for a second. And it's really only your super elite rollers that can handle something like that. So I give them full credit. But yeah, as a cigar that I'm going to smoke, I feel like it's, you know, I feel like it's a waste.
Well, you know, I kind of got two different stories about this. And we were down at an undisclosed shop. I won't throw him under the bus. But my wife loves the Green Bay Packers. And one of Pedro had his roller actually roll her a Packers cigar. But he pulled up on his phone the Packers logo.
And cut the logo out.
And cut the logo. And we had to smuggle that out of the shop under the cover of darkness.
So that everyone else didn't ask for the same thing.
Right. Otherwise, every NCAA team in the country would have a cigar logo being asked to be rolled for them. Right. There, which I thought he could have charged, you know, $50 a cigar.
Yeah.
And probably made a killing doing it. But that, and then also, I don't
Did she ever smoke it?
No, it's still sitting at home in the humidor. It's a prize.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is I don't wear T-shirts with writing on them.
I don't either. Because, for the most part.
Well, because somebody with a third grade reading level always wants to walk up to you and read your T-shirt to you. And that drives me nuts.
Do you remember in the late 90s, early 2000s when that was like all the rage? When the people would wear the shirt that said, "Hey, idiot, my eyes are up here," or whatever.
Right, or "I'm with stupid."
Yeah.
Yeah, all the classics. Anything that you could buy in a big dog outlet store. And all. And I kind of feel like the fancy wrapper, because then somebody's going, "Oh, what are you smoking? Yeah. Wow, that's pretty. Oh, wait, let me get that."
Well, you've never been one to turn away from a conversation at a cigar shop. I'm just going to point that out right now.
I'm not, but I'm usually solving the world's problems.
So it's a gimmick.
We're usually handling, you know, something very important. Yesterday, before the poker game, we had a big debate on which was worse, monstrous or gargantuan. If you've seen a large human being coming towards you and you wanted to describe him in a unflattering way, would you prefer to call him monstrous or gargantuan?
Probably monstrous.
See, this is interesting because this is cut right along lines of gender. Men don't want to be called monstrous. Women don't want to be called gargantuan.
That makes perfect sense.
But I
also think gargantuan just means big, but monstrous, you pull in that, you know, the monster-like, and it pulls in that piece of the word, makes it worse somehow for me.
Yeah, but it was very interesting in my informal survey here in the cigar shop, again, solving the world's problems, that it was so evenly divided among gender lines, monstrous or gargantuan. But enough cigar shop conversation. Let's talk about a cigar skill.
All right.
Now,
this is one that I get to test on a very regular basis.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons I'm bringing this to you is because I know you smoke a lot more cigars in your vehicle than I do.
I do.
And windy conditions. And I really thought about this topic while we were sitting out there on the cruise ship smoking, because it's always windy out on that deck smoking.
Yeah.
And how to maintenance the cigar, how to light the cigar, how to do things like that. So what's your go-to for your cut and light for the windy condition cigar?
Cut doesn't change. My cut is my cut. But one of the things that I've started using when I'm smoking out on my balcony at my place is I've got one of the Calibri Firebird high-altitude windproof lighters, and I have become such a fan of that lighter. It uses that, I don't even know what makes it different, but it's a jet, but it's completely windproof. I take it camping for the same reason. It's great. I mean, it lights every time, and it doesn't matter how windy it is, it will get your cigar lit.
And I spend a little more time being sure my cut is centered, because usually I'm smoking a deep V. I'll spend a few extra seconds being sure I got that thing perfectly in the middle of the cigar, because the wind is going to amplify any flaw in your light.
It is. And so I will say, when it comes to lighting the cigar, I usually don't care too much if I get a perfect light on it or not, you know, in terms of making sure I get the entire foot lit and making sure it's, you know, all well caught. Because usually I can smoke it the rest of the way if I need to. When you're outside, or especially when you're in the car, if you don't get every inch of that exposed wrapper on the foot lit, it's going to go crooked, and you're never going to be able to recover it.
Well, and I found on the cruise, I would spend even more time lighting the outer edges than the center. And it's easier to light the center. It's easier to draw. And I actually spent more time toasting the foot of the cigar rather than inhaling the flame.
Yeah. No, and the other thing is I'm really a lot more conscious of rotating the cigar as I smoke it when I'm in windy conditions. Because if you leave it in the same position for too long, the wind coming across a certain direction is going to, you know, what does fire need to burn, right? It needs fuel and oxygen. And so it's got the fuel by way of the tobacco. And so the wind is going to increase the oxygen to that area of the cigar. It's going to cause it to burn more, hotter, and faster.
Especially on the wrapper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's where it's getting the first, and that's what's going to cause that canoeing a little bit. So I'm very cognizant, and this is particularly true when I'm in the car, because the wind is coming from exactly one spot, the crack in the window. And so, you know, you kind of have to learn when to rotate it and how, and I tend to slow down as well. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, and took me a while to learn, is the faster you smoke, the more likely you are to burn crooked. So slowing down how quickly I'm smoking it kind of helps with that a little bit.
Now, have you found that it makes any difference if you hold the cigar more perpendicular as opposed to more on a tilt?
I haven't. I have played around with that quite a bit, because, again, in the car, what else do you have to think about? And so you're sitting there and kind of analyzing it, and every time I think I have it figured out, it stops working.
So I'm sitting here as we're talking about this, and I'm going to see how close I can get this cigar to the band without burning it, without incurring a 15-minute penalty.
So you're practicing.
Well, I'm just interested. I'm interested to see kind of what the thought process of that is, because I'm kind of measuring what my last puff took off of the wrapper, and I'm interested to see how close I can get to the band without actually scorching the band on this particular cigar.
I'll be interested to see how, because that also has a little bit of a scalloped edge on one side, so it's not perfectly straight across. So you're gonna have to.
Yeah, it would be better with a flat band.
It would be.
It would be a little easier task, but I am gonna try that just for posterity's sakes, just in honor of the Cigar Smoking World Championship.
But with the high wind condition, I will say keeping the cigar moving, I have found, is one thing that, by and large, you can pretty much take to the bank as a good tip in terms of, you know, not letting it rest in one place for too long. Rotate it in your hand. Keep your hand moving around. Anything you can do to keep the wind from hitting it in one particular spot for longer than it does anywhere else.
Well, and I found myself smoking more cigars like that. My standard cigar hold is between the middle finger and the pointer finger. The knuckle of the middle finger, the end of the pointer finger. That's my standard grip.
Yeah.
And I found myself reversing that grip and actually using the hand to shield some of the wind in between puffs.
And that really just depends on where the wind is coming from, because you may have noticed this from time to time. You know, if you're trying to just light a cigar in windy conditions, you know, you would think, you know, turn your back to the wind and kind of shield it that way. But a lot of times that won't work, because what happens, the wind coming over your shoulders will actually hit the back of your hand and kind of whip the wind back around it. Whereas if you just go head on into the wind with a little bit of a hand in front, it tends to do a little bit better. So, I mean, depending on where the wind is coming from, anything you can do to shield it is good. I will say I have smoked several cigars on a beach. And when you're on the beach, there's no, much like on the upper deck of a cruise ship, there's really no getting away from it. And the only thing I could really say, you know, in a condition like that is, be prepared that cigar is not going to last as long as you think it's going to.
You know, on the cruise ship, they had a little shower there that people go into for their, you know, after they've been out of the pool to rinse off, rinse, because all saltwater pools on the ship. And I could always go in that shower to get the perfect light, because that shower is completely enclosed. Of course, you know, the next person that come in there, the shower was full of smoke. But hey, you're using the shower on the smoking deck. It's not like I went over by the kiddie pool and did it, you know. It's on the smoking deck, but I did find that finding some cover like that really served me well. But it was interesting, because in the span of a week of smoking several cigars in the wind, I really developed that move.
One thing I learned that I don't know would work on a cruise ship, just because of security and everything like that, but I saw a neat trick recently where you take a little pocket knife right at the... It only works with a match, obviously, because you don't want to take a pocket knife to your lighter. But if you take just under the head of the match and just almost whittle it, but just a little bit, and leave it attached, and so where it fans out and looks kind of like a Christmas tree, it creates greater surface area of the wood to catch, and it becomes a little bit more like a campfire, and it pseudo-windproofs it.
I didn't know that. And it's a little hard to get a knife on the cruise ship.
Exactly. If you'll let me borrow your pocket knife after we finish recording, I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's a cool trick.
You'll have to whittle that out and show me. Now, okay, I'm getting really close.
Especially right over here.
Yeah, I think I'm like two puffs away from actually touching the band. And I wouldn't call it at this point.
Well, as long as we're talking about perfect lights and stuff, I saw something, and, you know, if it's an accessory, I'm going to bring it up. Vector has just released a new lighter called the Iron Fist. And the reason I bring it up, you know, Vector makes great products. We don't talk about them very much, but they make great lighters, and they're relatively inexpensive, which is great, too. But I'm noticing a trend. This has that little pistol grip kind of angled side that everyone's coming out with now. And it's too small to be a table lighter, but it's too big and awkwardly shaped to go in your pocket. I couldn't imagine buying a lighter that shape. I don't understand what the appeal is.
I'm not sure. You know, it looks like a creme brulee tool.
It does.
I mean, if you've ever made creme brulee at home.
Oh, that reminds me. I've got to tell you. So this made me really happy this week. On Monday night, I was over at my aunt and uncle's house for dinner. And my aunt made German chocolate cake because that's my favorite. And so my uncle gets the creme brulee torch from his kitchen out to light the candle on the top of the cake. And it's one of those, I mean, it's about the size of this bottle of water. You know, it's one of the big ones. And he can't get the thing to light. I was like, turn it down a little bit. And he turned it down, and sure enough, it lit right up. I was like, if there's one thing I know, it's lighters.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's officially as close without taking a 15-minute penalty as I can get.
Yeah, you better take that band off quick or you're going to get a 15-minute penalty on this
side. I'm one puff away from a 15-minute penalty and all. But notice, it was warm enough, the band just fell off.
Right.
You know, we talked about that early, and it's worth revisiting. Don't pull your band too quickly. Let the heat actually cause that vegetable glue that's holding the band on to release, and you'll never incur damage.
As far as cigar tips that I've learned over the past 14 years or however long I've been smoking, 14 years, I've got to say none has served me better than that one. And it's because there are certain cigars that constantly I would rip the wrapper when I was pulling. My father's cigars were notorious for this, especially the La Antigüedad and the Florida Las Antillas. And they were, like, it never failed. I'd go to take, and then once I started smoking it further down and getting some heat under that wrapper, I've not ripped a wrapper since.
Makes all the difference in the world. Somebody taught me that years ago, early in my cigar smoking career, and I was really happy to know that. So, next week, I'm going to give everybody a week to think about this, and on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at the Cigar Cast, what's your bedtime smoke? Say it's that time of night where you know you're going to be going to bed in the next 2 or 3 hours, but you want to have time to have another cigar. What's your bedtime smoke?
That's a great one, because I actually have an answer for that, so we'll save that for next week. I did, real quick before we go, just one thing about this lighter that cracked me up. It's not only an angled triple flame lighter, but it's also engineered for reliability at high elevations. It will work at 14,000 feet. As someone who just tried to get up a mountain that was 14,000 feet tall, who's smoking a cigar at 14,000 feet?
Are you kidding? Hey, if I climb Mount Everest, I will fire a cigar.
Yeah,
up
but
at
then
the
you're
top
too high.
That.
14. It's only engineered to 14,000. So you're too high at Everest.
I'll light it at 14,000, and then I'll have the Sherpa puff on it till we get to the top. And I mean, they got to do something. And they're conditioned for that sort of thing.
There you go.
But until next week, once again, you can get a hold of us at facebook.com/thecigarcast and on Twitter and Instagram at thecigarcast.
Absolutely.
And I think that's about it. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you had something to add, but you just puffed your cigar long.
Well, if you're feeling a little froggy and you've got some extra time on your hands this week, go ahead and pop over to wherever you get your podcast and throw us a rating or a review. We haven't asked for that in a couple of weeks, but it really helps other people find the show and just kind of boosts us up in the rankings. So we really appreciate if you do that for us.
Well, thanks everyone for listening, and until next week, have a great cigar and think well of us.